Our lives are filled with expectations, aren't they? Sometimes when things don't work out according to our expectation, we can be disappointed, sometimes surprised, sometimes maybe a little bit unsettled. The first-time visitor to our parish church may come in through the gathering space and say, "What a bright church, look at all of this light." And as they walk in to the area around the altar, of course, to see something that is a bit more cavernous. The other weekend, I had expectations that the Ravens were going into the playoffs. And they will, just not this year. You know, we have expectations as to where the goal is and how we're going to get there. One of the best inventions that I think that technology has given us in recent years is the GPS. Isn't it? I mean, you can use it on your smartphone, or I remember the first one I had, you know, you put on the dashboard and it told you exactly where to go. I mean, the really good ones could let you choose the voice that you'd like. You know, like right now, I have a nice little lady with a British accent who tells me where to go. You know, one time I had Arnold Schwarzenegger in the little phone who would say, "Turn right now." You know, and whether I was going somewhere that was more familiar, which I do sometimes just to have an idea of how much time I had until I'd get there, and sometimes, truthfully, whether or not I could beat that time, or whether it was a place that was totally unfamiliar, the GPS can give that guidance. Now, I can remember one time in particular. The GPS told me to make a turn to get to some place that was quite familiar to me, a route that I had taken many times. I'm like, "I'm not going to go there. That's taking me out of my way. I'm going to go the way that I know." And of course, I took the turn. And then the GPS made a little noise, recalculating. And it added 15 minutes to my arrival time. And as I went there, I found out why. There was a backup due to road construction. And of course, I'm sitting there saying, "Yeah, no wonder you made your little noise at me," as if to say, "You messed up. You should have listened." We have ideas as to where we're going in life, don't we? And how is the best way of getting there? You know, I had a funeral the other day of a longtime parishioner. And in the comments that were being made about the person's life, her son said, "You know, she has her expectations as exactly the way things should be and how heaven should be. And I can see her right now, if it's not meeting her expectations, she's going to let them know." And I did tell him during the homily, I said, "Well, you know, theologically, that's really not correct." Because now you think about it, you know, think about your greatest hope for your life. Think about your greatest dream. The best version of yourself as you can imagine it. And now think about the best version of what heaven will be like for you. I will guarantee you one thing. It'll be nothing like anything you can imagine or vision. But I will tell you this also. Scripture tells us that hope does not disappoint. The destination that we're going to and the way that we get there may not totally be in alignment with what our preconceived notions or expectations might be. And you and I might fight that at times and say, "No, I know a shorter way, an easier way, a more direct way." But that might not be the way that God wants you to take to get there. What's the ultimate destination? Total union, total communion with God. That's the simple definition of heaven. I'm one of those I jokingly say, when I see Jesus, I've got some questions to ask him. Why didn't this go that way? Why did it work out this way? Why did you make an ostrich? You know, but you know what the reality is? We're not going to care. When we've achieved, when we've been called into and experienced total union, total communion with God, why would we live eternity with our eyes on the rearview mirror? Why would we even worry about that? You see, the wise men, they started off. They knew there was a king that they were to pay homage to. The king of the Jews. So where would they go? Jerusalem. That's where the court of the king of the Jews would be. That wasn't where he was born. But they had in their mind, that's where they needed to go. And it was a close call, wasn't it? Because they see Herod. And Herod, in an underhanded way, says, go, find the child, come back to me and let me know where he is, so I can also give him homage. You know, we know what he had in mind. He didn't want the competition. He wanted to do harm. But when they followed the star, when they took the direction that was being put there for them, it was not the route nor even the destination that they thought that they were heading towards, but it was there that they encountered God taking on flesh. And when they had that encounter, my dear friends, what does Scripture say? They didn't go back to Jerusalem. They didn't go backwards. They went forwards. It says they returned home by another route. They had a different perspective, a different way of seeing things. And it wasn't the way they saw things going into the situation. As we come into this new year, I really believe that's a challenge for us as a parish, as a community, as individual Christians, is not to come into this new year with our own preconceived notions as to how it's going to be or what will define it as a good year, but rather how we can use this year to journey, to walk, to encounter Jesus in our lives. An epiphany is nothing less than, and literally means, manifestation. God wants to manifest Himself in all of our lives. God wants to manifest Himself through all of our lives. He wants us to be obvious to and for each other. And not in an insular way, as though we all come together and have just kind of a big group hug. But rather we take that into our world, to allow others to encounter Christ through their encounters with us, to accompany others in their journey, to be that light, to be that star that guides them to the place where Christ is in their life. The first reading talked about the people being covered in darkness, nations covered in darkness. But that wasn't the reality. A light was shining brightly. You might have a day, you might have a week, a month, a period of your life that you feel so overcome by darkness. That doesn't mean that light isn't present. It means you just need to uncover it. In baptism, you were given the light of Christ. Your mom, your dad, your godparents received a candle lit from the Paschal candle. And the priest or the deacon said to them, receive the light of Christ. This light is to be kept burning brightly. Now there may be times that you feel you're living in the shadows. Let that light shine. Don't let it be overcome by doubt, darkness, despair, fear, uncertainty, or even confusion. When life says to you in the midst of your plan, turn right now, turn right. And know that God has a better plan. It might hold you down from what you thought you were going to do, but it's going to take you where God wants you to be. I took one of these little Facebook quizzes. It was one of the things put out there. It says, you know, put in your high school year and ask these questions. Answer the questions. You know, a little cut and paste thing. I said, okay, I'm having my coffee. I'm killing a little time. I'll play along. It was put on there by one of my high school classmates. I said, okay, I'll go with it. And there were a couple of questions there, like, were you ever suspended from school? And I said, no, of course not. But I probably should have been. You know, what car did you drive? 1970 AMC Javelin. Orange. It's the favorite car I ever had, but it would be a scandal if I tried to drive one today, if it would even run. The other question was, in your current job now, is this what you envisioned for yourself when you were a senior in high school? I never saw it coming. Never would I have believed that God would call me to the priesthood. That one, along with, did you know your current spouse in high school? They were the ones that threw me. Although that one was, yes, I did. Just not in the way that I thought that I would. And that's where we look and say that God does draw straight with crooked lines. Not always according to our plans, but never for one moment doubt that you don't possess that light. You've got it. You just have to uncover it. Amen?
Amen.